I put them on the back burner for a long time. I was so on fire for God. I moved from Michigan when I was 17. I dropped out of high school. I didn't finish my last year. Guys, I really thought that I was going to go and win the world for Jesus Christ. I had such a desire to win the world for Jesus.
The Christian is to witness for Christ. Now, how do you witness? You witness by the way you live.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe.
La caída que tuviste hoy será la experiencia que te ayudará a levantar a los miles de caídos.
Christians, he's the power of love. Galatians, he's freedom from the curse of sin.
This is your testimony.
And we are live. Well, everyone that's tuning in, I am very excited for this episode. First of all, let me start out with welcome everyone to Testifying. Testifying is a podcast where we want people to know God through testimonies. All right, go ahead and introduce yourself, John.
Hey, everybody. My name's John Craig. I am from Massillon, Ohio. Praise God. God has just been so good to me. I have a wonderful wife, Sarah. God has blessed me with a wonderful wife. She's always lifting me up, and hey, that's what it's about, right? When one's down, the other one will lift each other up. I'm thankful God has given me a wonderful wife that's a companion to me, that's a friend to me. She's my best friend, and believe it or not, God has gifted me with 7 children all together to take care of and be accountable for, and I'm so thankful that God is a provider. I know a lot of people say, 7 children, holy cow.
Seven.
That caught me off guard. With you? Yeah, I hear it all the time. 7 children. I have 6 of my own, and then I call him my bonus child, my stepson Matthew. He's my bonus child. He's with me more than my children are, and God's just been so good, and God's even working in his life too. And he's 7, but God's power and presence is working in all of our lives. And God is so good. I'm just so blessed. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, I could look around. There's a lot of things that I want. There's a lot of things that I feel that I need, you know, but God takes care of his children. You know, God's blessed me so much. And he's always there for me when I need him. Praise God. There's a lot of things that I may want in this life, but he's the thing that I desire the most. But praise God, he's always giving. He's always a provider. Praise God. He wakes me up every day, and he doesn't have to. I wake up every day and I ask God, why'd you wake me up this morning, God? Why? I didn't deserve it, God, but he does. He wakes me up. You know, he puts me on my feet, Lord. And every morning I pray that I would do his will no matter what that is. And more I'm learning that sometimes his will isn't my will. It isn't our will. And we aren't always comfortable with what he wants us to do or what he wants us to say. And through these ministries, you know, lately in the Facebook group and on YouTube, you know, God's just been telling me that, you know, just put yourself out there, you know, just open up your mouth and I will provide the words to you. I will give you what I want you to say for today. And you know, sometimes I get before the camera or under the audio and I'm like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about, you know, and then God would just give me something and I'll feel the Holy Spirit so strong sometimes. And just like, bam, you know, slaps me upside the head with the Spirit sometimes. Praise God. Just gives me something to say. I'm like, man, God, you are amazing. You know, so God is so good, man. I mean, you can't help but look around and see that God is good. You know, God is just good just for waking us up every morning. That's just a blessing on its own. I mean, who can wake up and not thank God for being here one more day?
Amen, brother. I really love that. Like, I know. So for the people listening, the way I met John was, I don't even know how I even found this Facebook group. What's the name? It's Jesus Centered.
It's
right?
JC Ministries, Jesus Centered in parentheses. I wanted everybody to know because my name's John Craig, so I don't want anybody thinking that this page is about me. Okay, it's Jesus Centered.
Yep,
and that's what
Jesus Centered.
That's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about you. But the main priority is Jesus Christ. That is the main goal. Praise God. Amen. That we spread his gospel and that we're worshiping him. You know, because it's easy. It's easy. I'm telling you guys, anybody that has a ministry, anybody that has a platform, there are days that it becomes easy for our heads to swell up, you know, and beginning to mm-hmm. have more followers, and people start hitting that like and that love button and start commenting, and you got family saying, hey, you're doing a good job. You know, it's easy for you to allow the enemy to creep up into your mm-hmm. day and say, oh, you know, look what I'm doing. Look at the ministry that I have, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't want it to be about that. It's Jesus centered. I want my whole life to be centered around Jesus Christ, my God, my Lord, because he is my provider. He is my rock. He's the creator of everything. And that's the main goal of my page is that it's Jesus centered.
Amen. And I love that too, because I mean, yeah, like how you were saying, if, you know, just a little bit of pride comes into us, you know, that pride grows, and that's, you know, where everything goes downfall. And that's why I love that verse that says, you know, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. And I know I've said this before in other podcasts, but it just is so true, you know. But yes, as I was saying, that's how I met John through this ministry he has. And, you know, I started listening to some of your audio and even some of your podcasts. And I just love that, like, fire and that love you have for God. And so, you know, before we start talking how, you encounter God, I guess we are going to start right out right away, you know, So let's start out with, tell us about, you know, before you came to Christ, you know, like, how was your life? Or, yeah, just, you know, tell us about yourself.
Well, I really didn't have a life outside of God, per se. I was born and raised in an apostolic Pentecostal church. I was pampered and pacified on the padded pews of an apostolic Pentecostal church. So, you know, I was born in that faith. I was born into seeing, God's miracles and the outpouring of his spirit. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Apostolic Pentecostal Church, but, you know, we believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We believe that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, that God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a promise unto you and your children and your children's children. The Bible says, even those that are far off, we believe that God works in his spirit and that God pours out his spirit. And his spirit, he said that he had to leave us, that he couldn't leave us, because then the Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to come. And he said the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So mm-hmm. Jesus left us so the Holy Spirit could come and reside with us and in us, and that we may be led by his Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I was raised in this, and I'm not currently what I would call an apostolic Pentecostal today. And I basically classify myself as a Bible believer, faith.
That's what I loved. Oh, I love that. I keep telling, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I keep telling some of my friends, I'm like, yeah, I met this guy on Facebook and he asked me, you know, what I believe. And I guess what religion, but not really religion you consider yourself. And I told him, you know, I really don't know. It's just like a relationship. And then I asked him and he said, well, I kind of consider myself biblical. But I love that when you said that.
Well, yeah, man, it's the truth. It's the truth, guys, because listen, mm-hmm. you know, I just had a conversation with a guy at work and I consider him a friend. You know, he's a friend of mine. We don't hang out and stuff outside of work, but I've known him at another job and we both moved on over to this job and I get the privilege to work with him. And I believe God's got me in the position for a reason, to be a witness, to be a light. And we're having the conversation today and kind of religion just kind of came up. I told him, I said, you know, religion just kind of kills in a way that it's always like, you know, hey, here, look, I'm apostolic Pentecostal and my way is the way to heaven, you know, or I'm Protestant or I'm Baptist or I'm Catholic. And the way that I believe, you know, I have a reserved spot in heaven. You know, we get so caught up on on the title of what we are serving God instead of the title of who he is. Mm-hmm. And he's the God that we serve. You know, that is the main priority, is that, you know, we are looking to him, the author and finisher, that we are not looking to a building or a group of people or the title that is slapped on our church's billboard. Praise God. And I just want to be a Bible believing Christian. Amen. You know, I want to go with what the Bible says to do. And I was telling my friend there at work today, I said, you know, he was like, well, you know, you this and that, and I don't believe in this and baptism, and I don't believe you need the Spirit, and I believe that you know the Spirit's automatically here with everybody if there is a Spirit. And he says, you know, I could probably find a word for that. And I was asking him, you know, well, where is the word, you know, where is it say in the Bible what you're talking about? He goes, well, I don't know if it's in the Bible. And then I would tell him what I was, you know, what I was talking about. And I give him scripture. And I said, you know, look, if it's not in the Bible, you know, I have a hard time believing it, because anybody can come up with theologies, you know, and doctrines on their own. Anybody can think of a good idea. Mm-hmm. And just because it's a good idea, or just because it sounds good, doesn't mean that it's biblical. Doesn't mean that it's something that Jesus had intended, you know, for us to be doing, or how we should be talking, or how we should be living our life. You know, praise mm-hmm. God for the Bible. You know, the Bible, you know, it's like a sword. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I was telling my buddy at work, you know, sometimes the word of God, sometimes it slices like a knife. It's the sword. Sometimes it'll cut down deep. You know, sometimes it's the holy word of God. It's what we live by, you know. But yeah, I'm a Bible believing Christian, you know, and I don't really have a title. I think the church that we go to in Bethel, I think they consider themselves Pentecostal. But, you know, I love the Apostolic Pentecostal faith that I've been brought up in. I appreciate that my parents raised me, you know, like I said, from diapers on the pew with a pacifier in my mouth, getting to learn the word of God. You know, that is wonderful. You know, I'm so proud that I come from that. I'm proud of my parents that they raised their children, you know, in a godly manner and in the faith of God, you know. But I have a problem with people specifically saying, you know, that this religion and only this religion is going to get you to heaven, because it doesn't work like that, guys. Mm-hmm. Because you could be a Pentecostal, you could be apostolic Pentecostal, be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you can have a baptized, or you could have a Baptist person that's come to the light and the realization and the truth of God that also has all of that. And just because he is baptized, or just because he is Baptist, rather, but he's still doing what God asked him to do, so that, you know, there's no separation there. You know, it's not about titles, and we get so wrapped up in titles, and that's why it's like, you know what, I'll be like you said, if I said it, I don't know, I'm biblical.
Yep, I'm
let
biblical.
Me be biblical, God, let me be biblical. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being biblical.
Yep. And I don't know, I just loved how when I read that message, my mouth, I was like, wow, I love that. Like, you know, it's so true. So, yeah, like you were saying, you know, you grew up in the church. But yeah, keep telling us about yourself. Was there any time, like, you know, you're having a rough time? Like, I know for me, during high school, that's when I started, because I also grew up in a Christian, you know, church. But like, you know, but yeah, go ahead, tell us more about yourself.
Oh man, yeah, there were many times I probably could bring up, you know, yeah, I was raised in the church and raised in the faith, you know, but I believe a lot of us that are raised in church, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us, we sometimes get out of that way, you know, we tend to get off of that path sometimes, unfortunately, and I've had my share of God needing to, you know, slap me with his rod and get me back into the fold a time or two, needless to say. But yeah, man, you know, I remember going to school with a Bible in my hand. You know, I don't even know what grade I was in, but I remember just feeling that peer pressure of everybody else around me not, you know, knowing what it is to have a relationship with God. And because of that, you know, because of them not being able to experience that experience and knowing God for who he really is, you know, they're kind of forced to ridicule and mock and kind of, you know, slander other people for doing so. But yeah, I would carry my Bible to school and I would talk about God and you know, I was on fire back then when I was younger. And I remember that my teacher, one of my teachers, he ended up teaching, and I don't know, I don't think this would happen in today's day, but he was teaching a session on Christianity in our school, and it got to the point of talking about Jesus Christ, and he knew that I carried a Bible, he knew that I was a Christian and was a believer of God. He actually asked me to step up to the front and lead the class in talking about Jesus and the life of Jesus a little bit. And that was an honor, you know. But yeah, I'm sure that most of the class kind of laughed at me and snickered and well, there's that, you know, Bible believing, Bible thumping, Holy Ghost filled, you know, whatever, you know, that they like to, you know, throw titles around or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you know, life is not always easy for the believer. You know, we have to step out. And whether you're a young person or you're an adult, you know, we have to step out, and sometimes we step out and it's not always comfortable. You know, we got to step out into the uncomfortableness, and we got to go deeper sometimes in God, and going deeper, you know, sometimes means trusting in Him more, you know, having Him be our total lifeline, you know, having Him be our life jacket, if you will. You know, the deeper we get, you know, may require more of God's protection, and God wants all of us to go deeper, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, that He is that protector, that He is that provider. And there's many times in my life, man, that I've endured hardships and endured hard times and pain in my life, but you know, God's been good to me through it all, man. Just been amazing. I mean, I grew up in church, but there was a time where I got out of church for a while and I was doing my own thing. And I started drinking, started smoking weed, started playing that cool card where I wanted to fit in. I was just trying to fit in, you know, and I believe a lot of us, especially the young adults, they're trying to fit in. Teenagers are trying to fit in, and more. And I'm afraid, you know, for how my kids have to grow up in the world that they have to grow up in now, that they're going to just want to try to fit in, you know. And there's a lot of mess out there right now. There's a lot of people trying to, you know, swing our kids this way and swing our kids that way. And they just want to fit in, you know. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to be mocked. They don't want to be ridiculed. You know, they don't want to be cast down. You know, they just want to fit in, you know. So that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to be that cool person. And thanks be to God that I never got addicted to drugs. I never got addicted to alcohol, but I did do them. And I remember getting alcohol for my teenage friends that weren't old enough to drink, and I would go in and I would get it, and I would have it in my back seat, and I would drive to the party to their house and stuff. And yeah, I got out of touch with God, like totally, and just got in touch with the world for a season. And I remember my sister would invite me to church over and over, because my sister stayed in the faith. Thanks be to God that she did. But she just stayed in the faith. She would invite me. She'd, John, will you come to church with me? Come on, come to church with me. And I would tell her, nah, I don't think so. Timing's not right. Nah, I don't think it's going to happen. And one day, brother, she invited me to church, and they were having a revival over in our town. It ended up being a 3-month revival. Power of God, just, yeah, 3 months.
So
crazy,
what,
right?
What they do there?
This evangelist came down, and he was there for 3 months, and he was in a sister church of ours, not our church, but in a sister church of ours. Okay. So everyone would congregate over there. They had a revival like 3 or 4 times a night, you know, and plus on weekends or something. It was crazy, man. God was just pouring out His Spirit. God was saving people, filling with the Holy Ghost. There was miracles taking place in this building, people getting healed of cancer, getting healed of disease. It was just crazy. And the man of God kept on saying, you know, I just feel God wants me to stay another night, another week, you know, let's go another month, you know, and praise God. You know, when God's moving, you don't stop God. You don't hinder the presence of God. You know, we can't do that. So I thank God that, you know, this man was led of Him. And so I was like, yeah, you know, and I'm telling you the truth. I told my sister I would go to church that night just to shut her up. I'm not going to lie. I said, yeah, I'm just going to go to church. I'm just going to go to church. And then after that, at least one and done, I'm done. At least I could say I went, you know, get her off my back. And she always like, you know, you need to be in church. You know, God desires you to be in church. Amen. And so I went and, you know, in my mind, I'd sit in the back pew and I would just listen. And then when the altar call came, I thought I'd probably just walk out and leave, you know, and just go back to my friends, go back to the alcohol, go back to, you know, the drugs, what have you. But, you know, during that service, I felt such a power and a presence of God that I haven't felt in a very long time, probably when I was, you know, way younger. And I just felt the power and the presence of God. And I just felt a drawing of the Holy Spirit in that service. And it's like, you know, at that point you're like, you know that you're tied into the world at that point and you're doing things that you shouldn't, and you're not, you know, you don't have a relationship with God really at all. And you're like, well, you know, you want to avoid those feelings, but there was a drawing, and it's like the Holy Spirit was drawing me and wanting to do something. I felt this like bubbling inside of me, just wanting to change me, wanting to talk to me, something. I didn't really understand what was going on. So he opened up altar call and he, you know, said, is there somebody in here struggling to come to the altar? They don't want to come to the altar. They don't want to change their life. They don't want to leave their ways. I'm like, man, you know, that's me. You know, I struggle. I didn't want to go to the altar. So you know how it is, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, no, God. He's like, yes. You're like, no, God. And he's like, yes. I'm like, all right, you know, God, you got it. So I went up to the altar and, you know, I just lifted my hands and lo and behold, the evangelist came and laid hands on me, started to pray in me, and the presence of God fell in that place. And the evangelist started prophesying over me. He didn't even know me. I've never met him before in my life. And he put his hands on me. He had me to stop praying. And he wanted to tell me that he got a prophecy from the Lord that said that I would be a minister for God, and I would go and minister for him and share his gospel, and that I was going to do great things for God. And at that point I was 16, it was 1999. And you know, I'm like, at that point, you know, from there on, I left that service. I left totally changed. It's like God broke everything off of me and all the desires that I had at that time. He just broke those chains, you know, and then I started ministering, and then God gave me the knack to wanted to play a little bit of piano, a little bit of the drums. So I started doing that for a church, and then God used me, my pastor, my home pastor, he was using me, and one of my good friends, Eric, he would use him. We would start youth ministering and we would get up there. And I remember getting up there, guys, I remember getting up there and having these little pity notes, you know, with a couple scriptures on it, not knowing what I was going to say. And I'm telling you what, I remember getting up there and God totally changing that message around. God, the moment I'd step up to that podium, that platform, that the Holy Spirit just fell, and I was spewing out verses that I didn't even remember, you know, remember. And I was just talking, and God was just, you know, the anointing of God, you know, when God anoints, you know, sometimes a minister will get up there intending to say one thing and God will, you know, boom, he'll give him something else to say, you know, and God was just working in me, you know, and I was just on fire for God. And, you know, God's been good to me. You know, I will say God's been good to me. I really don't deserve his love. I really don't deserve his grace. And I don't deserve his opportunity today to be where I'm at today. But I'm so thankful that he gave me the opportunity to turn my life back around, because I left him. I put him on the back burner for a long time. I was so on fire for God. I moved from Michigan when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of high school. I didn't finish my last year, guys. I really thought that I was going to go and win the world for Jesus Christ. I had such a desire to win the world for Jesus Christ. I left my mom. I said goodbye to her. I remember the tears that she told me to be safe. She loved me. I was 17. Didn't even finish high school. I said, I'm on a mission. God has called me. God don't even want me to finish high school. God wants me to go and win the world. You know, I thought I knew what I was doing. So I moved and got involved into a local church in Worcester, Ohio, and sat under a pastor for some years, and got to minister under him for a while. And yeah, God's been good, you know, but you know, sometimes we're not good, and sometimes mm-hmm. we make bad choices. And And to sum it all up, I've made several bad decisions in my life. I've made several bad choices. You know, some choices I wish that I could take back, but then when I think about them, I wouldn't be where I am today if those choices weren't made. But, you know, but the grace of God is sufficient no matter what happens in our life. You know, as long as that door is still open, which the door is still open today, you know, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter who you are, no matter if you've done drugs, alcohol, no matter what you've done in your life, that there's nothing that you've done that would separate you so much from God that he can't reach down and turn your life around today. Praise God. You know, you have not gone far enough that God can't reach down and save you. And I'm thankful that he gave me that chance. I got divorced and then I got separated from the church. As the church, you know, I'll just be honest, the church didn't like the divorce and how it happened. And I let my carnal mind, I let my flesh take over, and I put God on the back burner, and I got a church for several years. And I was always struggling to find my place. I was always trying to fit into another church, trying to take my family, you know, to church and fit in, and knowing that, you know, yeah, I made some mistakes, that I failed God. And, you know, I want to tell you this, you know, I felt this morning, and maybe it was for this podcast, I don't know, but, you know, the enemy is so good at making us feel bound. And when we make a mistake, even when the Lord forgives us, the enemy is so, so good at making us feel that we're not forgiven, even though Jesus Christ has forgiven us. When we pour out our heart and our soul to God and we make a mistake and we say, God, I know I traveled down the wrong path, forgive us. The devil would like to keep you there. The devil would like to have you get up from the altar, wherever it is that you've repented of your sins. And he'd like to still have you to feel like you're not forgiven. And that's the kind of place I was for many years, brother. I just felt like God can never use me again. I've allowed my flesh and my carnal mind. I've allowed the devil to just put so much pressure on me. And I carried the weight. I carried the weight that God had already lifted off of me because I had asked for forgiveness. The weight wasn't there, but I allowed my flesh and the enemy to make it feel like there was still so much weight there. You know, and this morning I put out a audio about how the circuses will train up an elephant when they're young, and how I was representing that of the devil. When the young elephant gets chained to the ground or staked to the ground with a rope, they chain and rope up a young baby elephant to the one leg so it can't move. And it stays there as an adult because it remembers back when it was a baby and it tried to move, it tried to escape, it tried to be free, but it couldn't be free because there was a chain that was attached to them that they couldn't move, whether it be the wall or it was to the ground. They were staked to the ground as a baby. So when they were a baby, they tried to get free over and over and over, but they couldn't. So when they've grown up and they're adult now and they're big and they're mammoth sizes and they have all the power in the world to break that little chain, they have the mentality that they're still chained to the ground. And that's how the enemy works. He gives us that mentality that you're still chained, and we don't realize that we're no longer chained, that Jesus Christ has come and broken those chains.
Amen, brother.
He's broken those chains of bondage. He's broken those strongholds in our lives. We don't have to be chained to that. But the problem is I let the enemy for so long in my life tell me that I was never, ever good enough to minister God's word again, that I would never, ever be good enough to plant seeds. Praise God. But God has a different plan. But for so long, I allowed the enemy to give me that mentality that I'm still chained and I'm still bound, while I'm asking God to free me. I'm asking God, I want to be used by you, God. Lord, I want my ministry back, God. I want to pick up my callings and the gifts that you have given me. And God's probably saying, well, here you go. But then I would just allowing the enemy to keep me chained there, acting like I'm chained. You know, but we don't have to be chained. Just because we are in prison one day and we ask God to free us from them prison cells, we don't have to stay in that prison. You know, it's like we allow the enemy to tell us that we're still in prison, but we're not really in prison. Jesus has come. He's been the prison guard. He's got the key. He has unlocked the lock. He's opened that prison cell door, and we're sitting there praying to God for freedom, for liberty. We're praying to God that he takes this off of us, that we could go here, that we could do this, that we could speak that we could be this kind of person. And God's saying the prison doors have been open. And this is kind of a type and shadow of my life, that God is saying, I have opened up the prison doors that you have been bound in for so long. It's just that you have not seen clearly. I had blinders on my eyes. The enemy will put blinders on your eyes, and he'll make you see things in a different way, in a different light. And God's saying, I have freed you. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Praise God. So if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you have the freedom.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the freedom. We talk about the freedom all the time. You know, we live in the land of the free. We live in the land that has freedom, and praise God that we do, because one day we might not get to experience that freedom, you know, like we do now. Right now, we don't have to go down to underground churches. We don't have to hide out in the mountains, and like the last days, the Bible says that, you know, we'll have to go out and hide in caves and stuff, you know, if we're still here or what have you. But we don't have to do that now. We still have the freedom of God. We still have the liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Bible says, who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
Praise God. And if the Bible says it, that's all there is to it. Praise God. That if the Bible says it, we have to believe it. God's not a person that he should lie. He cannot lie. Praise God. But we allow ourselves to go to the altar like I did so many times. We'd go to the altar. We'd lay our trash. We'd lay our garbage down before the Lord. And we'd give it to God. And God would free us. God said, I've lifted that weight off you. I've lifted up that sin off you. Go and be free. Go and do my work. But the problem is we allow our flesh and our carnal minds, we allow the enemy of this world to allow us, to help us pick back that bag of garbage that God had freed us from. We pick it back up off out of the altar, off of the altar, and we carry it right back off out of the altar, out of the sanctuary, back into our home, back into our world, when God had said, I had freed you from that.
Amen, brother.
Praise God. And that's where I was. That's where I was, brother. I got so caught up. I got so caught up in thinking that I can never be used again because I made a couple mistakes.
And how were you able to overcome that?
Man, I tell you what. I think basically by having good, influential people in my life, by trusting God, and by listening to his word, by having, you know, good wife. And I'm just so thankful, you know, God works in mysterious ways. But, you know, I finally got to the point where I don't have one foot on the rock and one foot in the sinking sand. And that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. With many of us today is we have to have both feet on the rock. You know, I was having one foot in church and one foot in the devil's playground, and I thought that I could live life that way. I had a hard time being fully sold out, fully devoted to God. All my years of serving God, all my years of even ministering to God, for God, to his people, all my years of experiencing the joy and love and Spirit of God, I could tell you that I was not fully sold out to God 100%. I still had a foothold in the world. I still had those things. I still had that thorn in my flesh. I still had them fleshly desires. I still had those things I couldn't shake in my life. Those things I would run back to, them websites that I would run back to, those substances that I would run back to. And for the longest time, I was still trying to be in the world and be in God at the same time. And we can't be in the world and try to be in God in the same time. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We can't be of the world. We have to be fully dedicated and fully sold out to God. We have to pursue God with everything that we have. Praise God. And I don't know what sparked this last time. I don't know what it was. It wasn't that long ago, brother. Surprisingly, it wasn't that long ago. All my years living for God, all my years ministering for God, everything that I've been through with God, it wasn't that long ago that something snapped in my mind, something snapped in my spirit, and it was like, you have to pursue God with everything that you have. You have to lay down your life for God, just as he laid down his life for you. You have to lay down your everything. There is no more time to play games. There's no more time to be lukewarm or half-hearted for God. There's no more time. And something snapped within me, and my mind changed. My spirit changed. My focus changed. To now, I want to lay it all down. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's secular music. I don't care if it's drinking. I don't care if it's drugs. I do none of that anymore. It's hard for me to watch a normal movie anymore. It's hard for me to listen to secular music anymore that doesn't glorify God, because I come to a place in my life that I realize that I've got to be fully sold out to God if I want to make it.
Amen, brother. Amen. What was I going to say? I mean, that, man, that's so powerful, because, yeah, I mean, like you say, like, so many people, you know, they fail God and all that stuff. And there's many people that probably just think, you know, oh, you know, God's mad at me. You know, God's just mad at me. He's, you know, he's not going to forgive me, or you know, God's not going to use me, like you were saying. But honestly, God is just right there with his arms open. He's right there with his arms open. I do want.
Yes, he is, brother. Let me tell you something else. I just want to add a second part of my testimony today for you guys. You know, in Joshua 4:9, when they supernaturally crossed the Jordan River, they were told to take 12 different men from 12 different tribes and to pick up stones after they had crossed the river, after they had progressed, as a part of their setup, as a part of their realization that they have made it, that their future generations, that their future children and the people could come back to that place that God had set them free from, that they had crossed over to the other side. And that's kind of what I feel right now. I feel that at this point in my life, I finally crossed over the Jordan River. I finally for real crossed over to the other side, that I'm not faking it till I make it anymore. I'm not just going through the motions anymore. I'm just not playing church anymore. That I finally got a chance. God allowed me to come back to him. He didn't have to allow me to come back to him, but he did. So I want to set up a monument. And we have to set up monuments. And this app is a monument, brother. I want to tell you that this app is a part of those stones that they set up as a monument, as a testimony to say, here, look, this is what God has done for me in my life. I've been through hell. I've been through high water. I've been through, you know, I've been through thickness and the pain of it all. But this testimony, the Bible says we overcome by the words of our testimony. It's by testifying of what God has done for you in your life that other people progress, that they could look and say, well, if he did it for them, then he can do it for me. If he did it for John, he could do it for me. If he healed me of this sickness, then I know he can heal me of this sickness. And I tell you what, this app, thank you for this app. This is a tool where people can come and they can hear other people's story and how great our God is. Amen. And that there is nothing impossible with God, as long as we keep our faith, we put our faith in him, that there is nothing that our God can't do. And this is such a cool tool that you're using, this podcast, and thank you for doing it, brother. Thank you for stepping out. Thank you for stepping out. I know I've listened to your podcast, and I know that you're nervous, and I know you started this, and you're moving for God because God said to move. And you're opening up your mouth because God told you to open up your mouth. And this is where God wants you to be, you know, right now. And this is what God wants you to do. And you're moving in it, brother. You're doing it. And thank you for doing it. Because sometimes, you know, God gives me an idea or God gives other people an idea. And we throw it aside thinking, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to step out. That would be too hard. How can I do it? But if God tells us to do something, he's going to provide the means for us to do it. Praise God. All we have to do is be willing to go along, coincide with God, go along with him, and trust him that if he's wanting us to do something, if we're willing to step out of the boat, praise God, and we're willing to walk on the water for him, praise God, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We've got to be willing to lay everything down and put him as a priority in our life. And there was a time in my life, you know, not long ago in 2015, brother, that I went to the doctor because I thought I had mono. I was tired all the time. I was dragging. I was just dragging. I go to work and I was dragging, but every day I just didn't have the energy. I thought, man, there's something wrong. I must have mono. So I went to the doctor. I thought I had mono. I went to the doctor and he checked me. Everything looked good. He's like, well, no, I don't think you got mono. And brother, I'm telling you the truth. As I was walking out of the doctor's door, I was heading out of his door. He caught me last second. He said, come on back in here and sit down. He said, I want to take a look at your neck. He took a look at my neck and he found out that there was a lump there that shouldn't be there. It was enlarged a little bit. And then long story short, I had a biopsy and they tested and everything. And one morning I was sleeping and I got woken up by a call that the doctor told me that I had cancer, brother. I had thyroid cancer. I got woken up out of my sleep through a phone call saying you have thyroid cancer.
How did it feel when you got that news? What went through your mind?
I was blown away. I was in a dark place, brother. I couldn't believe it. I was crying my guts out. I went to my family. They couldn't believe it. I was in shock. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to you. I went through a time of asking God why, you know, why would you do this to me? I went through some dark places in my life. I went back to drinking for a little bit and I got so depressed. I got so very depressed that I would do nothing but go home. I'd get off of work and I'd get a bottle of alcohol and I'd get something to eat from fast food. Like clockwork every day, I would do this routine. If I didn't have my kids, I wouldn't do it on my kids' time. But when I didn't have my kids during the week, I would get a bottle of alcohol and I would drown in my sorrows and I would just lay there in bed and just eat and eat and eat. And I would be so depressed. I went to the dark places. I felt like giving my life. I felt like taking my life. But the only thing, honestly, and I believe God set it up that way, the only thing that kept me from taking my life was my kids. I thought about my kids needing their dad in their life, and I thought about how important I was in their life, and I didn't want them to grow up without a father in their life. That's the only thing that stopped me from taking my life. I was in a very dark place, and I didn't know what to do. And I just praise God. You know, I went through the first surgery. They removed my full thyroid. They took out my full thyroid. Now I had to be on pills the rest of my life. And I still do, just as a supplement, because of what the thyroid does for you in your body. So I take a pill, you know, to counter-react, you know, that it's not there. And after that surgery, you know, months later, 6 months later, I learned that cancer had spread all into my lymph nodes, into my neck after the surgery. And I had to endure a second surgery and they had to take the lymph nodes out of my neck. And yeah, I tell you what, you know, God is good no matter what. And there was times where I didn't know how I was going to make it. There was times of doubt. There was heavy depression in my life at that time. You know, I don't know why God does things the way that he does things. I don't know why God lets us experience life sometimes how we have to experience it. But I know God is amazing and God's able to heal. And I can tell, stand here today and testify that God has freed me and cleared me 100% of my cancer today, that I am Amen. A living, walking miracle. He took that away. Praise God. After two surgeries, I got to get checked up every year. And every year they tell me you're good. There's no cancer in your body. The ultrasound, I'm good. So praise God for that. God is good. You know, and maybe it was set up for a testimony that it would help somebody else. I don't know why things happen, but you know, but God could have taken me during that time. God could have snuffed my life up at that very moment. He could have taken me and allowed me to die from cancer if it had been his will. But praise God, I believe that God had a plan for me in my life, even though I failed him, even though I fell, even though I swayed off the wrong track a time or two. I believe all along God's saying, I still love you, brother. I still care for you. I still have gifts for you. I still want you into my kingdom. I still want you as a part of my family. I still have ministry for you. There's still a work for you to do, my son. I believe that God had his hand over his life, over my life, the whole entire time, even in doubt, even in the darkness, even in the pits of hell that I thought I was going through, even in that dark, heavy depression where I thought I'd give up and take my own life. God's hand was over my life, whether I seen it or not. And he was protecting me and he was guiding me and he made sure that I didn't do anything too stupid. And I'm just so thankful that God is there. You know, God is there in those moments where we think that he's not there. And there's nothing that our God can't do. You know, I've seen and I'm witness to myself, you know, that marriages can be restored. And I've seen miracles. I've seen cancer healed. I'm a living testimony. You know, we could say that. There's people that say that God can heal cancer. I can testify that God can
heal
cancer.
Amen, brother.
Praise God. I'm a living example that God can heal cancer. I don't have to read about it in a book. I don't have to hear about it from somebody else, and praise God for that testimony, because people are healed and overcome by the testimony. But I'm a living example, can say that God healed me, that God loved me enough to spare my life. Praise God, that I could be a testimony for somebody else. Praise God.
Amen. I do want to ask you a question though. What advice would you give for like a Christian that is going through a really dark place right now? What would you tell them?
I would say lean into God with everything that you have. Imperative moment right here. Lean into God. I've been in so many areas of my life, so many times in my life where you don't want to lean into God, and it's caused me havoc. So many times in my life where instead of leaning to God, instead of pursuing God, instead of trusting God, that I trusted my flesh and I trusted my carnal mind. And it's easy when you fail or in the heat of the moment, and when that heat gets turned up seven times hotter, it's easy for us to just turn the other way and put God on the back burner and say, this is too rough. This is too tough. I can't do it. I can't make it. But I'm telling you today, I'm begging you today, if you would learn from my mistakes, that it's very important just to trust God, lean into God, let him wrap his loving arms around you, even in those moments where you just feel so heavy, or you feel so dry, or you feel like you're isolated and you're alone and you don't know what you're going to do. And it feels like God's not even around you, or he's even present with you. Just lean into him, read God's word. I'm telling you what, there is power in God's word. You know, we have to come to a point where it's a priority to read God's word. You know, that we just don't read it when we feel like it, because the word of God is so powerful, and the word of God changes us, guys. It really does. When we read, we understand, you know, what God has set up, what God has in store for our life. We understand that he's a healer. He's a provider. We understand that he wants us to get closer to him. We understand that we have to live a separate life from that of the world. We understand that he is holy. We need to be holy. You know, we understand these things through the reading of the word. We can't rely on somebody else's word. We can't always rely on somebody else's voice, or even the minister or the pastor of the church. We have to dig in and read for ourselves. We have to dig in and grow roots for ourselves in God. We can't live off somebody else's roots in the church. We have to be dug down deep, because when the storms and the waves and the winds blow and life gets hard, if we're not dug down deep, if we're not leaning into him and we're not dug down deep with strong roots, if we're relying on somebody else's roots, then we're going to get blown away while they're still grounded in Jesus. Praise God. We have to dig our own roots in God. So I encourage you to dig roots, get rooted and grounded in God in everything that you do. Pursue him, because I promise you this, God is pursuing you. Chase after God, because God is chasing after you today. Praise God. Love God. Intimate with God. I know this is a word, you know, in Christianity sometimes, like, what do you mean intimacy? That's for my wife, or that's for my husband, that's for my marriage. Intimacy develops such a powerful love for God that when you wake up in the morning, you long to connect with him, that you long to speak with him, that you long to be in the same spirit as him, that you long to have his mind, that you can't wait to wake up to see what God has for you in your life and what he's going to do next. It's all a mystery, but that we get to wake up and we get to feel the joy and the excitement and the gladness in our heart, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Pursue him with everything that you have. Even when you don't feel like pursuing him, pursue him. Hold on to God, because he is holding on to you.
Amen. Thank you for those words. And what about, why do you think there are, like, you know, why do you think there are many people that are lukewarm?
Well, I think there is a huge issue with sacrifice, for one. And a lot of people don't want to fully lay down their life for God. in the way that God wants to lay them to lay their life down for him. And they're lukewarm because they're not rooted, brother. They're not grounded. We have a tendency to call ourselves Christians, and we have a tendency to say we want to make heaven our home and we're going to heaven. But when we read our Bible and we discover that there's a laundry list of things that God really does expect his children to do and sacrifice and believe. And it's a flesh issue, guys. It's the enemy. He knows what he's doing. The enemy, the devil's been around for generations and generations, for years and years. The devil knows, how to work in ways of depression and discouragement, and he works in even word. He works in ministers. He works in wolves and sheep's clothing. You know, people going around saying that it doesn't take all that, brother. You don't have to be radical for God. It doesn't take reading the Bible every day. It doesn't take praying throughout the day. It doesn't take fasting. It doesn't take you on your knees. You don't need to go to church. You could just stay home. It doesn't take all that. But you know, we become lukewarm when we allow the enemy to tell us those sort of things, that it doesn't take all that. And the problem is, you know, the Bible says that we should be a living sacrifice unto God. We are that sacrifice, and we're lukewarm because many of us don't want to sacrifice for God. Many of us have not fully sold out. Many of us have not committed to the point where that we would lay down our own son like Abraham. When I think of Abraham taking his own son Isaac up to the mountain to lay down his own son to sacrifice to God, we aren't at that point, guys. A lot of us aren't at that point where we're able to even say that we lay ourselves down, let alone lay any of our family down for the sake of God and for the love of God. We want the benefits of God, but we don't want to do what God says. We want to make it to heaven, but we don't want to sacrifice to get there. We want God to provide and to be our ATM machine when we call on him, but we're not willing to make the deposits ourselves. We just withdraw. God's calling you today to make a deposit, to stop being lukewarm. God's calling for you to change that bank statement, if you will, that when you look at it, there will be just as much deposits than there is withdrawals, that we're not just depending on God and leaning on him and not having a relationship with him, and we're cold and we're bitter and we're mean and we're grumbling and we're mumbling and we're just hateful Christians waking up in the morning, not wanting to go to work, not wanting to associate with anybody, and we're easily ticked off. And we're easily to spout off at somebody, and we're so judgmental, and we're just so lukewarm, guys. And we know what the Bible says about lukewarm Christians. And I don't care if you think once saved, always saved, and just because you prayed a little prayer of salvation and you're on your way to heaven. If Bible says if Jesus comes back and you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out, and you're not going to be ready. We have to be ready. God's not looking for a lukewarm Christian type of people. God's looking for a sold out bride. We are the bride of Christ, and we are sold out. What happens when we're lukewarm? It's kind of like a husband that's cheating on his wife, yeah, or a wife that's cheating on their husband, that we're not fully committed to them, that we're lukewarm in the relationship, that we're not really present in the relationship, like we're on autopilot or something in our relationship with God. Like we say that we're a Christian, but being Christian, you know what Christian means, is that we're Christ-like. That's what Christian means. So I want to ask you today, wherever you're at, can you look in the mirror and ask yourself and tell yourself that you represent Christ, that you are Christ-like, that we are like, no, we can't ever be Christ. We will never be Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But we are like little Christ, little mini Christ. We're supposed to represent Christ. We are Christians. And a lot of us just are lukewarm, and we're comfortable being there. But praise be to God, there is opportunity. The door is still open for you to pursue him. You lay your life down on the altar. You carry his cross. You give your body as a sacrifice of praise to him. And you totally pursue him with everything that you have, forsaking everything else, even if it's your family, your friends, whoever you have to forsake for the cause of Christ, understanding that there is nothing more important than to making heaven your home and having and establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord.
Amen. And I do want to say this, because this morning on my way to work, I was actually listening to the book of Romans. And so this is from Romans 7. This is from the New Living Translation. It is the apostle, you know, the apostle Paul is writing, and he writes this. I love, it says, so on 22, it says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus. And that is...
Yes, yep. Amen.
And that's why, how you say, I mean, I know I this is the Bible app, but, oh, here's my Bible, you know. But this Bible, this is going to give you all the answers, you know. And yes, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, with the flesh, because the flesh is a sinful, you know, it wants to sin. And that's why also... prayer is important. Prayer is very important.
Yes,
and that's why the Bible says, you know, keep watch and pray, you know, that you do not fall into temptation, for the body is willing and the spirit for the body is weak and the spirit is willing. And so if you're out there, you know, and if you're struggling, pray to God, meditate in his word, and find someone, and you know, like your pastor. It doesn't even have to be your pastor. It has to be, you know, one of the leaders or someone, you know, a godly man or woman that you trust, and, you know, talk to them, and, you know, God will use them. I do want to ask I do want to ask you something, but go ahead and say what you're going to say. I'll ask you.
Yeah, it's funny you were talking about Romans the day I ministered. I ministered this morning about being, what are you a slave of, was the title of my message this morning. And it was out of Romans 6, actually. And lukewarm, guys, this is it. Lukewarm says, because grace abounds, then I should continue in sin because grace abounds. That's your lukewarm Christian that says, I'm able to continue the way that I am, that I don't have to change for God. I don't have to lay my life down for God. I can continue in drugs. I can continue in alcohol. I can continue in darkness of this world. I can continue in everything that doesn't glorify God at all. Because why? Because God had died on the cross and has given me grace. Guys, God loves you. He has given his grace. He's poured out his grace. But there are still certain things that God expects his children to do. Praise God. And just because his grace abounds, just because his grace is here, doesn't mean that we continue in sin. Doesn't mean that we allow our devilish ways to rise up and we can live like little hellions and do whatever we want and there's no repercussion. The Bible says that you have to repent, you have to be baptized, you have to live in the Spirit, you have to do work for him. We are laborers in Christ. A laborer does work. A lot of people get caught up in, well, works doesn't matter and works will not save you. I'm not saying the works will save you, but works become evident in your life and serving in God. Serving God, works will be evident in your life. The fruit will be evident in your life. A good tree bears good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not bearing good fruit, there's something wrong. If you got rotten fruit today, there's something wrong with that tree. You're not rooted and grounded. You're not living. You're not planted. You're not planted by the rivers of the living water. Praise God. There's a song we used to sing in church that said, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the rivers of the water. I shall not be moved. We got to be that tree that's planted. It's planted solid. It's planted by the rivers of the water that can draw up the life that it needs, the water that it needs, that it's in the foundation that it needs. It's in the soil that it needs. We got to be rooted and grounded. We can't just be planted anywhere. We can't just toss our faith and our Christianity in the wind and just hope that we make it one day. We got to be in the word. We got to be in prayer. We got to be in fasting. We got to be devoted to God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength. Everything within us needs to cry out to God and say, what must I do to be saved? Just like on the day of Pentecost, they asked Peter, they were pricked in their heart. Sometimes we get pricked and we turn away from God. We turn away from the church and we leave churches and we leave friends because we're a little bit offended. But they were pricked in their heart and they wanted to know, what more is there? What is there more that I can do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Acts 2:38, there's more to your life than what you're living now, that lukewarm, unsteady, unstable, one foot on the rock, one foot in the devil's playground. I lived it, guys. I lived it. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Praise God. I invite you to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, where you can wake up and you can experience freedom. The moment you wake up in the morning, bam, you have the freedom of God. Bam, you have the gladness of God. Bam, you have the joy of God. Bam, you could feel after the Spirit of God. You don't have to be that mumbling, grumbling, you know, disobedient worker that just can't enjoy life, that don't look forward to life at all. You wake up with gladness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You wake up with joy. Praise God. And we learn this. We learn how to live our life to God from reading the Word, to being caught up in the Word, to be stayed up in the Word, listening. I listen to the audio Bible. I listen to sermons all day long. I listen to worship music. Praise God. And why does that matter? Because our ear gates are important. Mm-hmm. It matters what we let into our ears. It matters what you watch. It matters what you let into your eye gate. Don't tell me it doesn't matter what you watch. Our kids are watching and listening things, and then they're saying a bunch of cuss words, and they're doing all these challenges they see on TikTok and all these nasty, filthy things that are coming about. It's because they're hearing them. They're seeing them. It matters what we let into our eyes and into our ears. So I choose. I'm at that final place in my life where I just shun everything else that doesn't glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, I don't want it. If it doesn't give praise to God, I don't need it. If it's not honoring God in any way, I don't want it in my life. So I make a decision that if it doesn't honor God, I don't want to do it. I don't want it to be in my life. So yeah, I fill my brain, I fill my soul, I fill my spirit with worship, with preaching, with sermons, with teaching, with Bible audio, reading it to me while I'm working, because those are the things that are going to move you from lukewarm to being very hot and on fire with God.
Amen, brother. I did wanted to ask you too, because I know so we're gonna go back a little bit when you said that when you were hanging out with your friends, you wanted to act cool and all that stuff. What would you tell to those people that, you know, like struggle, like, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there that are saying, oh, you know, I don't want to leave my friends. My friends know who I am, you know, but honestly, those friends are the ones that are, you know, the reason why you drink, or the reason why you smoke, or the reason why you do these stuff. What would you tell them?
What would I tell those people that, like, drink and smoke?
No, like, what advice would you give them? Like, you know, would they, like, advice would you give them? Like, I don't know if I'm kind of, like, what advice would you give them if they are struggling on leaving, like, their friends, you know? Like, they know they have to seek God, but, you know, they still are, like, they still want to hang out with their friends, but, you know, do you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel what you're saying, and I know from experience, guys, that this can only come by a deeper relationship and a deeper commitment with God, because what happens is the closer you draw to God, then the farther away those things and those people of the world are going to seem less important to you. The darkness of this world, the things that the enemy sets up to distract us and destroy us, the closer we get to God, God will begin to transform your mind. He will transform your mind. The closer you get, the more in depth you get to His Word, the more in depth you get in prayer. And not those little patty cake prayers we throw up. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. When we advance in God and we say, God, all that matters is growing in you, and we grow in Him and we grow, and we advance in God, God will change our appetite for the things that we do. God would change the appetite for the people that we hang around. All of a sudden, if you allow God to just pray into it, just ask God, change me, direct me, lead me in the ways that you want me to go. I'm struggling, God. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be a jerk and give up my friends. You know, I don't want to seem harsh, or I don't want to seem arrogant, but God, just lead me in the ways that I go. Give me strength. Give me the boldness. Give me the willpower. Give me the things to say. praise God, Spirit, work in me. Give me that anointing, God. And he'll change your appetite because he's changed my appetite. Yeah, I went from loving secular music. My favorite type of movie was horror movies. I loved horror movies. I can't even watch them now because God's changed my appetite. He changed my appetite from the friends that I would hang around with. I can't hang around people now that don't honor God for very long because my spirit and their flesh, it just can't coincide with each other. There's it rubs you the wrong way. It rubs your spirit the wrong way. You know, so God will change your appetite and he'll give you more of a hunger. And I'm so thankful for the hunger of God. I wake up hungry. I wake up hungry for God's word. I wake up hungry to pray to God. I wake up hungry, wondering what he's going to do in my life, what he's going to do on the job. I wake up hungry, you know, wanting to know what he's going to do in my marriage, what he's going to do in my family, what he's going to do in my kids' life. I just, all that matters is that God would just change me, create in me a new heart, a new mind, transform me by his power and his presence. And that's all that matters. Just lean into him, pursue him, ask him to tell you the ways that which you should go, and he will make your path straight before you. He will lead you, even if it's in the valleys of the shadow of death, even if it's in the darkness, even if it's in despair, even if it's through cancer, even if it's through the pain, even if it's loss of loved ones. No matter what it is, whatever sickness, whatever disease, you're losing friends, you're losing families, you're persecuted. The Bible says this, guys. The Bible says we'll be persecuted and mocked for his name's sake. Praise God. We got to be willing to love Christ enough, to love him enough, to lay down our life and to lay down our wants. And that's including the people we hang around with, the type of things that we do, how we act, how we represent ourselves, how we talk at work, the movies we watch, the music we listen to. Let everything that we do glorify God. And guys, I promise you, if you do this, if you draw closer to God, guess what? God said, if you draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to you. And if God said it, I believe it. So get closer with God. God's going to get closer with you, and he will direct your every path.
Amen, brother. And before, you know, I always love asking this question. I always say this in every episode, but why should we believe in God? If someone comes up to you, you know, just a random person, and asks you, why should I believe in God? What will you tell them?
Why shouldn't you believe in God? Why shouldn't you believe in God? That's the question. Mm-hmm. That question shouldn't even be on the table of why should you believe in God? Why shouldn't you believe in God? How can you not look around you and not see the things that God has made and God has created and not know that there is an author and a finisher of your faith, that there is a beginning of the end, that he is the potter and we are the clay? How can you look around at the trees that are changing color right now as I look out my window and they're changing to pretty orange or pretty red or purple or whatever? You could look at the skies and see that they're blue and the clouds and how they form and every one of them's different. Praise God, you can look at the body and how it's structured, how we have red blood cells, white blood cells, and they destroy sicknesses and diseases and viruses and how we have ears and we have eyes and our eyes can see and separate colors and our ears can separate noises. Praise God. And that we have fingers and that we have toes and they're proportioned just in the right place to keep us stable. And praise God that we got a heart that pumps the blood inside of our veins that keeps us warm, that keeps us alive. Praise God that we have lungs inside of our body, that everything was designed. This just didn't happen by happenstance. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen by coincidence. It didn't happen by a Big Bang theory. Praise God. We weren't a bunch of monkeys walking around one day. I don't know how people can look around and not realize that God's beautiful creation and not know that there is a mighty God in heaven. Praise God.
Praise God. Oh, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being part. You have said some stuff right now that, you know, I've been, you know, like struggling with. And I feel like God really used you to help me with some of that stuff. I do want to ask, do you have anything else you want to say before, you know, we close out?
No, guys, just if you guys want to, you don't have to. You know, it's all about Jesus. It's Jesus-centered. But guys, I have a Facebook group, and it's growing right now. You know, I think I started with two and it's just been going up. And I had a screenshot one time I was trying to share and promote the page. There was 33. Now I think there's about 200, maybe 195, 190 something. I don't know now. But God is just growing, guys. And I just want, I wanted to develop a group, an atmosphere where people could come in and hear God's word. I do a daily Bible verse. I do daily prayers. I do a daily chapter sometimes. I do daily devotion. If I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit, I'll minister on there. Always sharing the light of God. Everybody can come and join, and they can share. They could share pictures. They could share messages. They can get on and minister and preach, you know, as long as they follow the rules that I set up there. And yeah, I'm just so thankful. God's just growing that ministry. I just want to be a light. Praise God. I want help. I want to help others, you know, be able to share their story and share their gospel. I want other people to share their light. Praise God. I also have YouTube. That's JC Ministries as well. It's just JC Ministries. You can look me up there if you want to, you know, hit that like button and that subscribe button if you want. You don't have to. Praise God. But hey, to God be the glory, guys. You know, I just want to make an impact on somebody's life. I want to share my testimony. Thank you so much, brother, for allowing me to come on here and share God's word, share his testimony, the mighty things and how he moves. You know, God is still on the throne, guys. You know, God is still alive. We serve an alive God. We don't serve a dead God. You know, a lot of us walking around here, you know, lukewarm, cold and bitter, it's with our heads hung down really low. I don't know what kind of God you serve. Do you not serve the same God that I serve? Do you not serve the God that's alive? Or are you serving a dead God? Are you worshiping a golden image? Are you worshiping a statue, a stone statue? I don't know what you're serving. I don't know who you're worshiping. But the more you get to know God, you know that God is good and God is gracious and God is loving and he's forgiving. And he'll wrap his arm around you and he'll leave the 99 to go and save that one person which was lost. And guess what, guys? That's you. Guess what, guys? That was me. I was that one that God chose to leave the 99 and go call and say, hey, son, you're not where you need to be, but come on back. Come on back. I accept you. Let me wrap this robe around you. Let me throw my arms around you. Let me give you the fatted calf. Let me give you the goods of this life. Let me be your provider. Let me be your creator. Let me change your life. Praise God. And let me set you in a good place.
Amen. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. And also, you guys, I'll make sure to share his page on my Facebook page. Also, I just want to say, anyone out there, if you feel that God's tugging you, I invite you guys to please accept God. Invite him in your heart. I promise you, God is the way. He is the only one that will get you through anything you are going through. Well, yeah, thank you, John, for being part of this.
Thank you.
And till the next episode, everyone. God bless you all.
Matthew 16:24-26 says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul? Is anything really worth more than your soul? Now really, ask yourself if there's anything worth more than your soul. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but God gives us eternal life. God wants us to repent from our sins. He wants us to turn away from our evil deeds and turn to Him. Repentance is when we confess our sins out loud and ask God to forgive us. You must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our salvation. We must also accept God's gift of salvation through faith. Only you know how your spiritual life is with God right now. If you have walked away or even grieved the Holy Spirit, now would be the time to turn to Him. The first step is to ask God to forgive you and to truly believe and trust in God, that He will change your story. He will change your stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.